The underdog is howling.
This is Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in. Part two of your Bowl Bonanza podcast. Stanford Steve alongside the Bear, fresh off a trip to Las Vegas. Up or down?
Up.
Really? Herb Street, not up. He was cracking me up on that broadcast.
No, I think he went on like an 0-for-60 run on blackjack. See, I didn't sit down at a blackjack table, and I think that's part of the reason why. And I'd like to take back all of the bad words I said about Chris Boswell, because
that was a big one for you.
Well, yeah, yes. And I will thank the South Point for the – I love the NFL. I went there, did the show with Gil. Looking at what they had to see if they had like any college teaser, parlay, super teaser card, reverse end.
Yeah.
Came across an NFL reverse teaser card.
Yeah. Of course you did.
Of course I did. Why wouldn't I? So I take a look, and I actually liked games in the NFL this week. So, and you know the concept of the reverse teaser.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm like,
underdogs giving points.
Yeah, like favorites giving more points.
Yep.
So I tap into, I threw together four different ones and played. Played a 2-4 teamers, a 3 teamer, and a 5 teamer. Throwing
not a big deal.
Not a big deal. Just, you know, after I cashed my Oregon under and some other things, my BC over and some win totals, I had some money to play with. So I'm like, I'll give a little back. So I wound up basically mixing and matching, and it comes to it on Sunday afternoon. I had a live 4 teamer with the Colts -9.5 against Dallas.
Winner.
Bengals -9.5 against the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Falcons -15.5 against the Cardinal. And Steelers -5.5 against the New England Patriots.
Yeah. Gotta get lucky in one of them.
And they should have been up a lot more than what they were. And when Boswell missed that 30-something yarder, a lot of bad words were coming out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. And when he made the field goal late, I was extremely happy. So now I have a reason to go back to the tip of the strip in February when I'm back out in Vegas to collect a little bit.
Very good.
So it was a good week.
Awesome. Awesome. We will get a little more on a little Vegas talk at the end of the pod. We'll recap a little more and get some more details out there for the people. All right. So I mentioned part two. Here's our plan to give you games from now. On this podcast, you get games from now, or I should say starting Saturday, the 22nd, because we already did part one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then we're going to run games on this podcast all the way up to Friday, the 28th. So part three we'll give out next week, and that'll start with the 29th. Obviously, that's the day of the semifinals, but you also have the Peach Bowl that day, the Belk Bowl, everyone's favorite in gambling world, and the Arizona Bowl that day. So we'll start with those five. Then you have another six on New Year's Eve, and then five on January 1st. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take you from here, coming up this Saturday.
And we'll give you an initial impression on the semis, I think, at some point within here as well. Kick it around.
Go Irish. All right, so Saturday, we have the Birmingham Bowl, Memphis-Wake Forest. We have the Armed Forces Bowl, Houston Army. We have the Dollar General Bowl, Buffalo-Troy. We have the Hawaii Bowl, Hawaii against Louisiana Tech. Memphis-Wake Forest, Birmingham Bowl, you got anything there, Bear?
I mean, without Henderson playing, it's hard to know how much.
You ain't kidding.
Memphis's offense is going to be. I'm sure they've got someone who will just continue that line of backs that they've had, and they'll be able to put up some yards against a Memphis team. But no, I got no real feel on that one.
I'm with you. No play here. Stay away. I would offer. Next, Army Houston. This line seems to be rising.
Mm-hmm.
Houston is just, I feel like they're caught here. Now the line's up. Army -4.5, over under 60.
I think that's going to climb, too. If you like Army, you better play it like yesterday.
Yeah. Obviously, Houston, no Ed Oliver. That's been a drama story all year. I believe they're also out with corner Isaiah Johnson, who's not going to play, right. Looking ahead to the next level.
The entire D-line's been beat up all year. Derek King obviously had the sad injury.
Yeah, that's a tough one to take, as they were still in running for a conference championship.
They very easily could have been.
Houston allows about 200 yards on the ground, 197 to be exact.
And lately, it's been a lot worse.
If Houston, how they played Navy, when Navy ran for 396 yards, scored 36, is any indication what they're going to do against Army? All right, against Army.
Right.
After we see all, you know, Army beat Navy, obviously. I hate to keep saying this, but there's a trust level factor that I know what I'm getting with Army, and then you go no quarterback for Houston. I don't doubt Major Applewhite. I think he's a good head coach. He's dealt with a lot, as we mentioned, with guys looking at the next level.
There's a clear drop off though from King to the backup.
Oh yeah,
different. I mean, not a runner at all. Hasn't thrown many passes at all this year. It'll be interesting.
And I don't think that coaches should get. Put it this way. I think coaches get the raw end of the deal so much more than they deserve to in bowl games. Because what's going to happen here is, say Army runs for 400 yards, you know, and they roll the win. People are just going to say, oh, my God, look at Houston, not prepared for the option, which is just not the case. Because Houston, I'm telling you right now, they play Navy. They know the similarities between Army. They will be prepared for this game. There's no doubt in my mind. Now, are the players willing to execute it and sacrifice themselves and take on some double teams and, you know, not, you know, maybe they're supposed to chop against it?
After seeing Al Alford get hurt, chop off against Navy, they're going to want to go through that?
So I really get upset when I get the coaches get all the blame in these games, and I feel like this is just one of those instances where Army might roll the win. Major Applewhite, oh my God, he can't get his players ready against a running team. All that stuff, I don't think it's warranted. With that being said, I will lay the points with Army because of the trust factor, and I know what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Too much unknown for the Cougars.
I mean, it's hard to like use in this game. I actually like the under in this game because I think you're going to see Army, similar to what they did against Oklahoma, ball control, not a lot of drives. You're probably going to see them churn out a lot of 5, 6, 4, 5, 7, 8 yard games and just grind it out. Control the clock, control the ball, which will limit Houston's ability to get on the field. And I see 60 right now as a total.
Yes.
60 and a half in a couple of places. And I think this could be like one of those types of games we saw in Norman, maybe a 30-21 or a 28-21 type game. 35-21. I do agree. I think Army would be the side that I would play, but my play in this game would be the under.
I also am not sure with a new quarterback how Houston's going to react, because they're going to have to be very efficient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned the clock and
you're
all
not
that
getting
stuff.
A ton of drives.
So, all right. So you would lean under in that game, 60. I'm going to take Army and lay the 4.5. I think it was 3.5. When we did that one.
Yeah, and I have a feeling it's going to go up to 5, 5.5 as well.
Get it now, people.
Yeah, I haven't heard a single person like Houston in this game, and it's hard to like Houston in this game.
Later that day, December 22nd, is the Dollar General Bowl, Buffalo and Troy.
I'm mad at Buffalo.
Yeah, you got to let that
go. How'd they lose? How'd they blow that game against that terrible NIU team?
Our NIU team.
Oh, it was brutal. You knew early.
Yeah.
You knew early.
Yeah.
And the opportunity, like, it was 10-point lead, and you're like, you know what?
Live bet
UAB, get off a bad NIU side and maybe cost a little bit more than you would have liked.
Yep.
But it was apparent early who the much better team was.
I don't have a side in this game with Buffalo and Troy. Buffalo's now a 1.5-point favorite. Was opened at 3, I believe. Over-under down to 53.5. This game is in Mobile, Alabama. I will say this, that being this far out from the game, you know, we're over a week away from this game. This one feels like if the MAC keeps playing like poop, people are just going to steam against MAC teams,
right,
and everybody's going on Troy, and Troy will probably be the favorite in
very
this
easily
game.
Could be.
So I would be wary of that. Buffalo could score. I'm not saying they're as well-rounded of a team as there is. I do believe they're the best team in the MAC. Sorry for you weren't. They didn't let you cash your ticket for that, Bear. But I don't have a feel on this. That's just a sense I get. So just be careful because every team in the MAC is its different. It is its own animal, and I think people are just gonna get going on betting against a certain conference, which happens a lot. Hey, sometimes it's right. Pac-12 is 2-14. Yep. I think ATS in their last 16. So just be careful of that. I don't have a side here. I would just be wary of going against Buffalo.
And entering, I think it's entering the Ohio-San Diego State game, which is tonight. We are taping this.
Yeah.
Obviously Wednesday. I think the MAC now was like 2-12 or something like that in their last 14 bowl games. So that record continued to get worse, and I think that will be something to watch. I want Buffalo to win because they had a really good year.
They did.
And Anthony Johnson is an absolute freak stud receiver, and I'd love to see him go out a winner, and Lance Leipold and that team get a win. But we'll see. Troy is very good defensively, and they got some
solid team.
They got some very, very athletic guys on that
great
side
coach.
Of the ball.
Troy should be very fortunate they're ready to keep their guy around another year. Neil Brown.
I'm shocked he hasn't gotten
those
hired
teams
somewhere else yet.
Memphis, we mentioned them before. Mike Norvell, that's a huge, huge plus keeping those guys. So no real side on that game. Later that night, your nightcap, Louisiana Tech on the island against Hawaii. Hawaii is a one-point favorite over under 61.5 in this game. I mentioned it's at Aloha Stadium on the island of Honolulu. You got anything for me there?
Isn't the number telling you to play Louisiana Tech?
I mean, my man Skip's an underdog. I always like him as an underdog.
Small dog, but people are just, Hawaii on their home field, they're only a one-point favorite. Got to play Hawaii. They'll win, right? And isn't the line telling
I don't know what to think about Hawaii after this year, man.
Oh, I don't either.
But I see what you're saying about the line movement, yeah.
I mean, if you want to play the game, I'd play Louisiana Tech, but I wouldn't be run into the window to do such. Noticing a trend here where after the slow start to the bowl season, very hesitant with some of these lesser profile games. Not willing to jump on in, just throw a pick out there to pick one for the sake of doing it.
All right. So with the holiday and all that comes with it being
3 days
Christmas
off,
Eve,
23, 24,
Christmas Eve,
25
Monday night,
off.
Scott Van Pelt Sports Center. We are working Christmas Eve. We are on after that great Raiders-Broncos game Monday night. Are you going to stay up for that?
Could be the final.
How much of that game will you watch?
On Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
Do you have fantasy
implications?
No, I don't have a fantasy team.
No?
No.
You packed it in on fantasy football.
I have not had a fantasy football team for 4 years.
Good man. I'm with you. Injuries, too much.
I actually will watch that game because I'm curious what the atmosphere is going to be like. It's probably going to be the final game they ever play in Oakland. It could be pretty.
Speaking of that, we're thinking about running a vault on that night of the show. What's the best moment you would want to see from that? Old Raiders, Oakland Coliseum game. They blew the game to the Ravens, that AFC title game. I believe they did beat the Titans the year they went and got smoked by Gruden in the AFC title game. But I was thinking like one of those earlier round games against the Jets, Saturday night playoff games with Herm and is that Vinny that still went out there?
Yes.
Or Pennington?
What year?
2001 or 2?
Oh, that was Pennington.
Yeah,
that was
right?
Pennington.
That was a Saturday night game, one-score game. I think it ended up being two scores. Mm-hmm. Underrated Jets team, though.
Very underrated. And that's funny.
I think they played there like two straight weeks right?
Yeah, regular season finale and then played them again.
Mm. So,
and then they blew out Colts in the
The Jets beat them round before. That was a wild card game. Yeah. They won like 41-0, right?
Yeah.
And then they went out there. That's right. Okay. So that was a divisional round. The Jets-Raiders game.
No. 2002 was the year that they played the Colts. Because I remember being in Vegas watching that game. And then that was the following. And they got blown out the week after that.
Okay.
But 01 was the John Hall field goal, the gun to win, get him in, and they went back
and got
lost by two touchdowns the following
week.
Much better memories of San Diego in the playoffs than Oakland.
think everybody does.
From the Jets, from a Jets standpoint.
That's right. That was the game. I knew I shouldn't have messed with you better.
I can remember. I will remember this. I remember the 82 playoffs.
Whoa.
When the Jets went out to Oakland, actually Los Angeles at the time, and they won 17-14 to go to the AFC Championship game when Don Shula cheated and the Dolphins didn't cover the field the following week.
Oh, yeah. A.J. Dewey?
That game.
Right, we're not going to bring that up.
And the young Chris Felica was distraught.
I can only imagine. What year was the loss to Mosley and the Browns? That was a brutal one.
86? 86. Charlie Steiner, the Jets are going to Denver. Oops.
Thanks, Charlie.
4:14 to go.
Municipal
Mark
Stadium.
Gastineau, no personal foul.
The rest is history, as they
say,
right?
That was painful. And what made it worse is it would have been Jets Giants.
No doubt.
And it would have been awesome.
It would have been a massacre. Big Green. All right. Sorry for your Jets.
Memory lane.
Jets history lesson.
Anyway,
Raiders.
I was going to say, we talked about Monday night. You were working SVP Sports Center after the game, and you were talking about what from Oakland would you want to see.
They know. So Christmas Eve, Monday.
You could show Derek Jeter throw with the A's, but that's a different sport.
No, we're not going to do that.
A's are still there.
Christmas Day is a Tuesday. Obviously, no bowl game, so we will pick it back up Wednesday, the 26th, the First Responder Bowl, which pits my Boston College Eagles against Idaho's Boise State Broncos. Boise State -2.5, over under 56. Now I'm kind of I find myself in the tank here for the Eagles, seeing how high we were on them early this year. Not good ending of the season for them. Feel bad for A.J. Dillon, just missed two games this year. Injuries were a factor to ankle. But I was looking at this. If BC loses, Steve Adazio will finish with a 7-6 record for the fifth time in his six seasons in Chestnut Hill. Now, he just signed a two-year extension. So I think the administration obviously is in his corner giving him that. But I think there's going to be a sense of urgency here from them to really try and get this momentum going and get out of that 7-6 funk that they've had. I mentioned A.J. Dillon, still went for over 1,100 yards. On the other side, running back Alexander Mattison is one of my favorites for Boise State. That guy runs like an ultra beast. Over 1,400 yards, 17 touchdowns this year, including 400 in his last two games. We obviously know one of those was the loss in the Mountain West title game. So these two, I think these teams are alike. They're both going to want to run the football. I just think BC has more talent on their defense, on that D-line with Wyatt Ray and Zach Allen. I think those guys are NFL players. Zach Allen definitely is. So I think this game is going to be tight. I think BC has more talent, and I think they have a little more focus. I think Dillon will be healthy. I think BC wins a close game, so I'll take BC in the points, obviously.
And just as a contrarian viewpoint here, and not disagreeing with your pick, I mean, you know how Boise gets very excited about the opportunity to beat Power 5 teams. They lost to a really good Presto team in the Mountain West Championship game. Boise's got pretty good players in that back end in the secondary now. They're going to need to come up and run support as well. But
I just don't think they've seen a run game as physical and as,
well, that will be the key.
BC's going to line up.
Their offensive line in the trenches could be the difference if BC does attack the game the way you expect them to. Yeah. I'm
not down Boise at all.
I'm not advocating playing Boise. I'm just running through the processes.
Yep.
If you like Boise, this is a potential reason. Or would this concern you if you're on BC?
Yeah, and just weird. Like BC +2.5. I could be on the wrong side. We'll see. But that is the 26th. On Wednesday, also that day, we have the Quick Lane Bowl.
Paul Johnson, farewell.
It is. Minnesota's a 5. Wow, that lines up to 5.5.
Minnesota's
tackle is not playing.
Yeah, Minnesota's got a bunch of issues.
Stuff going on.
Again, and the game actually did hit 6 before coming back out a little bit.
That over is under 57.5. You got anything on that game?
I mean, I don't know a single person that likes Minnesota.
What that game used to be called? The one in Detroit?
It was the
Quick Lane. It was something else. Motor City
Motor
Bowl?
Detroit Motor City Bowl. Used to be a Mac. Used to be Mac and Mac SC. And I remember Marshall. Marshall played Ole Miss there 1 year, right?
I remember Dan Orlovsky lit it up against Toledo, I think. Bruce Gradkowski.
Yep.
UConn gave
former,
it to him.
Former Buck, former Raider.
Yeah. Right? Lifer, NFL. I'd like to get some of his checks.
Collect, I was going to say collect.
Shout out
checks.
Bruce Gradkowski.
Absolutely.
All right, so then that nightcap that night, the Cheez-Its Bowl, Chase Field, which is where the Diamondbacks play.
Correct.
One of those little doohickey setups on there. TCU is a short underdog. Cal is favored by a point now, over under 39.5. Might not be the prettiest game. You do have a take on this.
Might not be. It's picking some places. In a league full of just horrific defenses, TCU just couldn't put up points all year long. They got quarterback problems. Cal's offense actually statistically is a little bit worse than TCU's, but in terms of defense, I just don't know how TCU is able to move the ball against Cal. This is a Cal defense that has allowed just 25 touchdowns all year, the same number as Michigan allowed. One touchdown fewer than Alabama allowed all year long. I know Gary Patterson's teams don't typically have losing years, but all the offensive problems they had, it just I don't see it getting better against the best defense they faced all year. Cal has shown that they can overcome not being able to score and win games. They failed to score the offensive touchdown against Washington one. I think Justin Wilcox's team gets the bowl win. Good close, low-scoring game, but I do like Cal to prevail.
Yeah, I like the situation. Cal was one of my teams early on this year. If you listen to me, you know my affinity for Wilcox as a head coach. He also got an extension, but that doesn't mean somebody can come and hire him. Get him out of Berkeley, please. All right? I don't like the way this trend is going with Cal improving. But, yeah, I like your pick a lot there with the Dirty Golden Bears. That gets us to Thursday, December 27th. I believe we have three games that day. Independence Bowl.
Three good games that
the
day.
Old walk-ons Independence Bowl. Yep. Shout out Brandon Landry, my man Baton Rouge. The New Era Pinstripe Bowl, which is Miami, Wisconsin, and the nightcap, which should be interesting, and I think we might differ a little bit on this one, the Texas Bowl, Vandy and Baylor. Do you have anything with Duke and Temple? Playing in old Independence Stadium in Shreveport?
I don't. I will say this, though. It seems like your old, reliable, very chic underdogs are out in full force public-wise. Oklahoma State, Wisconsin, Duke, Iowa, Northwestern, UCF. They're all very, very, very big public picks. So while I love David Cutcliffe as an underdog, and the only time he's lost as a dog in a bowl game was that dirty four-letter word that we talk about all day long. I don't know. Maybe Temple, the fact that Manny's the head coach now, they get a little bit of stability. I don't know. Daniel Jones.
Are you related to Coach Foley? A lot of people were asking me on Twitter.
I don't want to comment on that. I just know we're going to go down to Shreveport and play well. You're going to fall in love with our team. You're going to fall and get to know our play. You're going to fall in love with our team.
You think he just loves Shreveport? Like he was sounding like Shreveport was like Vegas to us.
It may as well be.
All right, just a thought.
But you know what? It's good to see him care, and you know what that means? It means that those kids are going to care and they're going to want to show up and play hard.
We were
they did in their bowl game last year, by the way. They beat the tar at FIU.
Yes. And it just goes back to their bowl games. I played in a couple, and there's nothing better than winning a bowl game. I don't care what the circumstances are, but it's just awesome.
Winning a bowl game for a national championship is better than winning a bowl game.
No, but it's awesome to be able to say I'm 1-0 against Nick Saban, beat him 38-0 in the Sun Bowl. Come on. It's great. Man, did we have a good party in El Paso that night.
You should remind him of that next time you see him.
I'm
sure you will.
I let Puritan do that, but I haven't got a coach yet. Yeah. That party went all the way over to Juarez when they used to let you go over to Juarez for that bowl game. No can do that anymore. I think I like your feeling about these trendy dogs. Has an underdog covered? In the bowl
Georgia
games
Southern. Georgia Southern coverage.
Eastern Michigan.
Yeah. Eastern Michigan. Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not good. What is it? What's the saying? Underdogs early in bowl season, favorites late. That's not looking too good. But yeah, that's a weird thing. It feels like Duke might get some money once people realize the coaching situation there. I don't have a take on that one. You would say you might give them with
Temple. I might tend to give them with Temple.
Okay. All right. Your Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, 5:15 that day.
I will not be there. I'll be in Miami by then. I wouldn't be there.
Toes up on the beach.
No. We'll be in the office working.
All right. Miami is a 3.5-point favorite. Plenty.
How can you lay points with this team?
That's all I said.
I said Wisconsin's a trendy. How can you have any faith that Miami can score 3.5 points?
I was writing my column last night about this game, and I'm on the record. I like Wisconsin in this matchup. When you look at these two teams, I understand what happened last year. Miami lost a double-digit lead and ended up getting beat by double digits. But I don't think that game means anything.
No.
About this
no,
game.
No, it doesn't.
And then when I look at this game, I don't like Miami's offense, running or passing. I'm not sure about Miami's defense. It's been spotty, although last couple
defense is bald.
But Manny Diaz is gone.
Correct.
So I don't know what that factor is. Wisconsin quarterback play, awful all year. Wisconsin run game, But I do trust Paul Christ in getting the run game fixed and Jonathan Taylor. Of all the things in this game, that's the one thing I could see
correct
getting fixed and getting right. And they don't have to be great. They're an underdog. I don't think Miami's going to force the issue when they have the ball. So I'll take Wisconsin Harris as a short dog, and I think they win the game on the field.
It's hard not to. If it wasn't such an obvious side in the game, I'd be on Wisconsin. I can't play Miami.
All right. Who's been a bigger disappointment this year?
Miami.
Really?
They look terrible offensively. They were terrible.
I'll give you this. ACC, I'm really interested to see what they do in this bowl season.
It's been Clemson and everybody else.
All right. Now, did Miami just overachieve that much last year?
Well, Miami got
and
Miami
was fortunate of that schedule.
Miami was the beneficiary of unbelievable turnover luck.
Luck, right?
Getting Notre Dame, Virginia Tech at home at the right time after winning a bunch of close games that maybe made their record seem better than they really
North
were.
Carolina
but
game was
but they were awesome against Notre Dame and Virginia Tech.
Yeah,
they were. Awesome those two games. They were great. And that gave you a little bit of belief. And then the Virginia game, they needed to come back and win. And then the Penn State game just kind of exposed all the problems. And from there, Malik Rozier has not been the same player, and the offense hasn't been the same.
I blame Andy Staples for Wisconsin's struggles this year because he did that photo shoot with them before the year, and he really showed how those guys how to eat. And I think it affected them this season. Just kidding, Andy. I think Wisconsin's more of a disappointment because of what should have been. And now I realize, like, watching talent-wise, it wasn't there. I think they were the consensus pick to win the conference because of that side.
They
nobody really was that good. Like, everyone's like, oh, Purdue was – like, they ended up beating Purdue, and Purdue had to win the Oaken Bucket – the last week to make a bowl game.
I
so I don't want to hear about Purdue. Nebraska was Nebraska. Iowa, they went there and won.
I guess the
like
thing
it's just weird. Like Northwestern, come on.
I guess the thing with Wisconsin was I didn't think they were winning in Ann Arbor. I didn't think they were winning in State College. So I didn't have them as like a playoff. They were never a playoff team in my mind. And I thought with whether it was at Iowa or at Purdue or somewhere else, like they would kind of pick up that third loss. I mean, I didn't foresee losing at home at BYU as a three-touchdown favorite. But I think there's something here too with Wisconsin. They're gonna get a little excited about getting a chance
to
play. Hear about the whole Miami, the turnover chain, my speed in Florida. They'll be ready.
Beat them in their own building last year. I know it doesn't matter.
A lot of Wisconsin alums in the Northeast. Kenny Dichter not going to be at the game.
Why?
By the way. He's going to be home watching it on a 52-inch.
Okay. Spoke
to him last week.
52-inch TV?
Well, what's one of them?
I figure he has a movie
theater. I'm sure he's got something as well.
I got to bring it up also, too, because people love this stuff. The game's in New York. The motivation factor of Miami. Like, why are we going to go up to play? Miami's coming up to New York and play a football game.
Sure. A lot of Miami alums in the Northeast, too.
Understood. You'll be in Miami.
I'll be in Miami.
Toes up. So I'm on Wisconsin, that side. If you had to take a side, you would take a side, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
All right, that night, I want to get to this one. This is real interesting to me. Vanderbilt and Baylor.
Two teams that are going to be excited about playing in a game.
Yes. And Baylor, game's in Houston.
Yep.
Point that out. But I feel like this is brand, styles, whatever you want to say. I really like what Coach Rhule has done with the Bears. All right. He's got that up and running way quicker than I thought. And that thing was morbid looking when he took over.
Understatement.
Vanderbilt's a 4.5-point favorite, 55.5. I like Vanderbilt, and this is just because of where they come from and who they've played and the adversity they've faced. They've been kicked in the face more. They've played better competition than Baylor. I think Baylor's up and coming. I just don't think they have the personnel to stand in there and face what Vandy's going to do. I think Vandy's going to give it to him on both sides of the line of scrimmage, and I just like Vandy's matchup with what they have to play with compared to what Baylor has to play with when I look at Rhule versus Mason. Not a coaching mismatch. I just like what Vanderbilt has personnel-wise more than Baylor.
Yeah, I actually like Baylor in this game. I think Baylor has proven that they can put up points on teams, and they face some of the better offenses. And I know Shermer and Lipscomb, those guys are good. But I'd be inclined to take the points here. I'm not willing to make that as a pick, but I wouldn't automatically be on Vandy like you are. But again, it's hard for me to differentiate between these two teams because you don't got to worry about any motivation, excitement. Because how often does Vandy get a chance to win a ball game nonetheless against another Power 5 team? And the same thing with where Baylor was a couple of years ago, and that Rhule comes in and they get an opportunity to go to a bowl game and beat an SEC team as well. So it should be two really good games. But you're right, the fact games in Houston, there'll be a lot of Baylor fans who make that trip. That'll feel like a home field, I think, for Baylor.
Yeah. But circle that one. That's going to be a good one to watch.
Yes.
Let's move to Friday, the 28th, Music City Bowl, Camping World Bowl, Alamo Bowl. Auburn-Purdue, Auburn in that Music City Bowl. Auburn's a 4-point favorite. I'll go. Go ahead.
Why are they favored? Why is Auburn favored?
Name.
I mean, Purdue has the better roster of winning. I know Purdue plays up and down to the level of their competition, and they are capable of laying some absolute eggs. But Purdue has the better wins.
Correct.
They have the better offense.
Correct.
They've got more motivation being excited that their head coach chose them over going back to his hometown and his alma mater. Why isn't they want to? They're unbelievable as an underdog under him. Why is Purdue not the right side here?
I agree with you. You're on Purdue. I'm on Purdue, and this is getting back to that head coach factor. And I don't mind Melzon. I think it's good. I think there's just a lot of stuff going on there, as there always is with Auburn. But when you have Purdue and you have a situation like this, all right. This game's in Nashville, obviously closer to Purdue than I would think. Let me get my geography right. Closer than Auburn. Right?
I think close. Maybe closer than you'd think.
From the Bear. That's all the traveling he does. That's why he knows it better than me. I just look at Brohm as the most fearless play caller in all of college football, and I think that's a bad mix for an Auburn team that I'm not sure whether or not they want to be there and whether they want to play. I think Jared Stidham, as good as it was last year, I worry about the fit in that system. I'm really interested to see what he does in these senior bowls and all that stuff when he gets into a pro system. But I just don't like this. I think Brohm's in a position. You mentioned the momentum his team gets from seeing him want to stay and coach them in the future, and especially in this bowl game. So we are both on Purdue minus, or I should say Purdue plus 4. What do you got for me?
353 miles from West Lafayette.
Okay.
301 from Auburn. So about the same. Auburn's a little closer, but not. You know they'll be more excited about driving from West Lafayette to Nashville than they will be making that drive from Auburn.
Auburn's going to want to fly.
Oh, they'll absolutely fly.
Man.
Opelika to Nashville.
Exactly. So we're both on Purdue there. I mentioned that. That second game in the triple header that day, Syracuse, still don't understand this one, was a 7.5-point underdog in this game.
If you had the foresight to realize that there was a chance that Will Greer wasn't going to play and you saw 7.5.
I just rolled the dice on that one before that. Now it's West Virginia still 1.5, over under 68. I don't know why they're favored still. When you look at these two teams, West Virginia, before the season, was in that conversation for, you know, Big 12 championships and possibly a spot in the playoff. Syracuse was just trying to get to a bowl, and for the first time in Dino Babers' tenure there. You look at it now, assess it. West Virginia didn't meet those expectations. Syracuse, I think, kind of exceeded them. Totally they didn't did. Play well against Notre Dame in that big spot, but they're way better than I thought. Dungy is as fun a college football player as I've seen or I've been able to watch. I look at Syracuse coming in with more focus and with their quarterback, as West Virginia doesn't have their left tackle or their quarterback. I think that totally affects, you know, Sills and those guys on the outside.
Absolutely.
I think Syracuse wins the game. I think they're underrated defensively. You know, everyone knows what they did almost to Clemson at Clemson. I know Clemson lost their quarterback that day. But I think Syracuse is a better football team. I don't know why they're getting points. I think they win the game.
Yeah, as long as Dungy is back, healthy, playing, I don't see why they wouldn't win the game either.
And the nightcap that night, 9 o'clock, Alamo Dome, should be a really good
favorite
one.
Game of bowls.
All bowls,
favorite game of the year.
1,000-star lock for the Bear.
No. I meant favorite game game I am looking forward to the most is watching that game and that stadium with those two fan bases.
Okay.
And
sorry, I jumped the gun.
But
you do like a side here.
I do like a side.
Not a 1,000-star lock.
Not a 1,000-star lock.
Right.
I do like Iowa State in the game.
Or Iowa State.
I just envision the West Virginia game, what Iowa State did with Purdy running, Montgomery running, short passes, the defensive pressure that they brought. I think they sacked Greer 7 times in that game. I kind of see a similar blueprint for this game. And look, things may change. Things may be different this year, but I still can't get out of my head the last 2 years how awful Washington State has been on offense. Is it something where the prep time allows these teams to really dive in and dissect Leach's offense and totally disrupt it? Is it a thing where Washington State goes out and just, hey, this is a bowl trip, we're going to have fun, vacation, whatever happens. I don't know. But that 12 points that they scored against Minnesota, who had the entire team suspended a couple of years ago, that shouldn't happen. I mean, maybe the Pac-12 will bounce back this year and they'll have a better bowl season. Wazoo blown out last year by Michigan State. And it just worries me that Leach, 1-7 against the number last 8 bowl games, and the 11 times he's been favored, 3-8 against the number, 6 outright losses, and the only win that they've had in his last 5 trips to a bowl game was the win against Miami in the Sun Bowl when Golden was fired and nobody from Miami cared about being there. I think they're going to be a ton of Iowa State fans there, ton. And I think it's going to be an awesome environment. I think it'll be a lot of Wazoo fans there too. But I just – Washington State isn't afraid of these, like, pass-happy attacks.
No.
They face them all the time.
They face
every
week.
And they do pretty well against them.
Mm-hmm.
If Washington State wins, great. I'll be happy. It'll be a great end to a really good season for them. But I like Iowa State plus the points here.
All right.
You?
I will remind people that have not been there, not been to San Antonio from Pullman or Ames, the river's not to jump in. All right? It's a scenery thing. You walk down it, up and down it. All right? Take it easy. Enjoy the game. Don't get too crazy. Two awesome fan bases. Love them both. I can't believe Iowa State's getting points. I figured this game would be a pick 'em. But if you're still able to get 3.5 there, I'm with the bear there on Iowa State. I'd give me Matt Campbell in points any day of the week. All right, so that gets us to the 28th. Next week we will give you the games on the 29th and beyond. Obviously the semifinals are that day. Did you have a good time in Vegas?
Did have a good time in Vegas, other than getting the flu in Vegas.
Not the Vegas flu.
The real flu.
All right.
And it wasn't, it was a less than pleasant Sunday. And
good meals? Shout out to the restaurants out there.
Yeah, very, very good meals. Steak, filet like butter at SW Steakhouse. I mean, just
phenomenal.
Little 8-ounce filet, medium rare waterfall in the background, show going.
Phenomenal.
It's awesome. Just terrific.
Reese pick up that one?
No.
Oh.
No, I forgot who.
You did.
It certainly wasn't me. And then Friday, Carbone, which
that's your
is
spot.
Just, what can you say?
What's those pastas you get?
Well, Carbone, they didn't have the gnocchi.
Oh.
No. They didn't have the.
What'd you get?
Carbone, we did like kind of like family style. We got some lobster ravioli. We got some angel hair. We got some, what else? We got the prosciutto and mozzarella, fresh mozzarella obviously. Plate. We got some Dover sole. We got that's some nice. Veal Parmesan. We got the rigatoni with the spicy ragu, spicy red sauce.
All right.
A little bit, you ate it all.
A
little bit of everything.
We shared.
Like one for each end of the table, just kind of share and pass it
Moving
around.
Moving on. Yep. Very good. What's the favorite dish on Christmas Day for you?
I make lasagna.
You do? Meat.
Me. I make lasagna.
What kind of meat?
I go a mix. I do like a 50-50 sausage and beef.
Like it. Is there any left? What time is that first plate of leftover lasagna on the day after Christmas?
Unfortunately, it won't be this year because I have to leave the day after Christmas morning.
You can't fire it up in the microwave?
It's going to be hard to do.
You're going to probably get a stain on the shirt.
Yeah, I stain on the shirt, pop the Zantac before the flight, have some issues at 37,000 feet on the 26th.
Oh, all right. Stay away from that. We did your reverse teaser for NFL. Do you have one in mind for the Bulls?
I did play one for the
Bulls. You did?
I did.
Let's hear it.
I did. I played, and I'm as of right now, I have one game.
One game down?
I took Tulane.
How many we got left? Four?
We got four left.
Oh,
I got two. I played Tulane minus 12.5.
Yeah, you did. Winner.
And then I have, we can run through some of the other ones if you'd like to, but I played Baylor. Not Baylor. I'm sorry. I'm looking at Baylor. I played Purdue minus 4.5.
Wow.
So basically, you get basically like 8 or 9 points.
9 points.
The other way. So instead of getting 4.5 points for Purdue, you're laying 4.5 points. So I took them. Took Iowa State minus 5.5 against Wazoo.
Okay.
We'll see. Took Michigan State minus 6.5 against Oregon. I trust Mark D'Antonio against anybody.
Absolutely.
In ball games not named Alabama. And then the one that is going to be a little risky. It's a whole lot of contrarian, but I was like, you know what? For an unbelievable return, I'll take a shot. I took Kentucky minus 2.5 against Penn State. I know they've been really good in bowl games under Franklin, but you know what? For 5 of 5 at 180-1, I'll pay out. I'll take my chances.
Nice.
On that, and if we're alive, we'll figure out a way to get off that. Any other? Could I interest you in Alabama minus 23.5 against Oklahoma?
No.
No? Could I interest you in Syracuse minus 6.5 against West Virginia? Yes,
yeah,
probably,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, man. Like in these games before the 29th, I like all underdogs, I think. So
Yeah, I think we're going to see an underdog run here, and then
I guess it's
all been favorites early. I think you're going to see a run of dogs here in the middle, and then it'll kind of balance each other out in the in the end.
Okay. All right. So for the recap, First Responder Bowl, I am on BC plus 2.5. Pinstripe Bowl, I am on Wisconsin plus 3.5. Camping World Bowl, I am on Syracuse plus 1.5. And I also like Bears. I'm on Vanderbilt also, minus the 4 in that Texas Bowl. And I do agree with Bear on the Alamo Bowl at Iowa State plus 3.5. Still don't understand that line. Your picks to recap?
Give me under 60 in the Houston Army Bowl.
Yep.
Give me Cal versus TCU. Give me Purdue like plus the 4.5 against Auburn. Give me Iowa State plus 3.5 against Wazoo.
All right. So we'll be back for a part 3 when we get the rest of the bowl games, including those semifinals, absolutely. And if not, everybody have an awesome holiday. Really appreciate everyone. Thankful for this stuff and the opportunity to do it, and you guys out there listening. Everybody have an awesome holiday. And listen, don't get crazy about these bowl games, please.
Yeah.
There's so many factors. Don't go, you know, on this game. I love this game. I nickel and dime here and there, man. Like, have some fun with it because there's so many things that you're not going to find out until after the games are played that's going to really make you mad that you went on one side. I'll just offer it at that. So, my man, have a good holiday.
You do the same.
All right, and take us out of here.
And the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.